Thank you. Choir, you can sing that at my funeral. That was great. Last week, I started a two-week series of sermons titled God's Guide for Giving, and we examined giving in the Old Testament, and today I would like to examine giving in the New Testament. Now, there are two reasons why I want to spend these two Sundays on God's Guide for Giving. First, I want to look at God's Guide for Giving because the session has agreed that we want everyone in our church family to make a pledge to the 2009 General Fund. These pledges will help our budget committee as they plan the General Fund budget for 2009. And I will say more about that later in the sermon this morning. But second, I want to look at God's Guide for Giving because the Bible has so much to say about giving. God has revealed to us in the Bible what He wants us to know about giving. Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." And similarly, it is my duty and delight to declare to you the whole counsel of God regarding giving. Not to do so would be to rob you of the blessing that God intends for you as you follow God's guide for giving. And so as we begin, let me just take a few moments and let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Would you bow with me for prayer as we get started this morning? Father, as we come to this subject of giving and giving in the New Testament today, we pray that you would help us to understand what your word says about giving and how it we can give in a way that glorifies you and that advances your name and your kingdom. And we pray all of this then in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we come to this subject of giving, the question that arises is, how are we to give our money? And I want to briefly review what I looked at last week. Last week, we looked at giving in the Old Testament. You can find that message on the web or in the manuscripts that will be in the narthex outside. If you were not here last week, let me encourage you to get that message because they really fit together. I'm going to give you a brief review of what we covered last Sunday, and it's very important for what I want to say today, so it will be helpful to you if you can pick that up on your way out. I want to review what I said last week. And last week we looked at giving before Moses, that is before the giving of the law, and then giving from Moses until Jesus, basically giving in the Old Testament. So we first looked at giving before Moses. Now, it's very helpful for us to understand that giving in the Bible falls into two categories. There is the category of required giving and the category of voluntary giving. And some of what I'm going to say today perhaps is new to many of you, and it'll strike you as not what you've perhaps heard, but I believe it's based on what Scripture teaches, and it is just helpful for us to get these two categories in our minds, that there is required giving and there is voluntary giving. So let us begin by first looking at voluntary giving before Moses. The first mention of giving in the entire Bible is in Genesis chapter 4. The first offering given to God was by Cain and Abel. One brought fruit from the trees and so on, and the other brought some animals and offered them up to God. And the point to note is that the gift was completely voluntary. We don't know how much they gave. We don't know the percentage of their gift. All we know is that they gave voluntarily and that there was no requirement, no amount, no stipulation, and no frequency placed upon them to give. It was completely and entirely voluntary giving. The next example we looked at was Noah. After the worldwide flood subsided and the ground was dry, Noah went outside and immediately offered up a sacrifice to God. Again, there was no command given. There was no percentage given. It was a voluntary gift on his part, an offering up to the Lord. The next example is in Genesis chapter 12. Abram was called by God to leave Ur of the Chaldees to go to a new land to become the father of a new nation. And after he arrived in the promised land, the land to which God called him, he built an altar and offered up a sacrifice to God. And again, it was a completely voluntary gift, no amount stipulated, no required percentage given to him, no command to give. It was simply the spontaneous response of a heart devoted to his God. Now, the first mention of tithe in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 14. The word for tithe in Hebrew means a tenth part, and in Greek, it simply means a tenth. It is not a religious term. It is simply a mathematical term. It is a percentage. Tithe means 10%. That's all that it means. Now, Abram is the one who gave a tithe, the first mention of a tithe. He was returning from fighting Chedorlaomer and the kings who were associated with him. He gets to Jerusalem, or called Salem at that time. And the king of Salem is Melchizedek. He comes out and he blesses Abram. And in response to the blessing of God through Melchizedek to Abram, Abram responds and he says in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, and says, "And Abram gave him a tenth or a tithe of everything." And again, it's important to note that this was not commanded by God for Abram to give a tithe or a tenth. It was a completely voluntary gift on his part. The other mention of tithe or tenth in the book of Genesis has to do with Jacob. Jacob had made a vow to God saying that if God would provide for him, that he would return a full tithe of everything that God gave to him back to God. Again, God did not command Jacob to give a tithe or a tenth. Jacob decided on his own to give voluntarily a tithe or a tenth of all that he had back to God. Now, all of the gifts that I've mentioned so far, from Cain and Abel to Noah to Abram to Jacob, were all voluntary gifts. No command was given to give a certain percentage, no requirement, no stipulation. These were simply voluntary gifts of hearts devoted to God as an expression of their love and devotion to God. That's voluntary giving before Moses. Now, what about required giving before Moses? You remember last week we looked at the story of Joseph. Joseph was sent off to Egypt by his brothers. He became a slave there, ended up in prison. Pharaoh had a dream. He was able to interpret the dream. There were going to be 7 plentiful years, followed by 7 lean years. And he gave Pharaoh the suggestion that Pharaoh take the money from the people. He said that Pharaoh should take 1/5 of the produce of the land during the 7 plentiful years. Essentially, tax the people. Take 1/5, that is 20% of their produce, 20% of all that came into them. Pharaoh should tax, set it aside, save it up, so that there would be enough for the people during the lean years. That's the very first time in the entire Bible that a taxation is mentioned, and it is at the rate of 20%. And so we have voluntary giving before Moses that was completely spontaneous, not required, and it was directed to God in an attitude of love and devotion. And we have required giving, which was a taxation placed upon the people, and it is directed toward the government to take care of the needs of the people. So that was giving before the time of Moses, or the giving of the law. Then last week we looked at giving from Moses, or when God gave the law, basically when Israel became a nation, to the time of Jesus, the rest of the Old Testament. And during this period, the tithe became a familiar term. And we looked at required giving during this period. And we learned, and this is where looking at last week's sermon will be helpful, because I give you all of the texts and so on there, but that there were actually three tithes that were required to be given by the people. Three tithes. The first tithe was the Levite tithe, 10% to be given every year to pay the Levites because they had no inheritance in the land. A second tithe of 10% every year to be given was called the festival tithe. And this was to pay for all of the festivals or the national religious program. And then there was a third tithe of 10% over 3 years. So 3 1/3% was given every year, and it was called the poor tithe. That was to take care of welfare for the people in the land. And so you have a program to take care of the national priestly program, the national religious program, and the national welfare program, a taxation on the people of 23 1/3%. And so when people say that in the Old Testament people gave a tithe, that is not true. They actually gave 23 1/3%, three tithes or 2 1/3 tithes every year, and it was required giving to the government of Israel. And then we looked at voluntary giving from Moses to the present. And voluntary giving was giving over and above required giving. People had to pay their tithes or their taxes that they had to do. That's why God gets so upset in Malachi, because he says, "You're robbing me of my taxes," because the government was an agent of God. And so God says, look, if you want my blessing, give me the first fruits. Give me the best of all that you have, the very first of your income. Give it to me and I will bless you. And actually there are dozens of passages in the Old Testament that talk about voluntary giving. Let me just give you one. For example, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, which says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." What he's saying here, look, take the very first of all that you get, the first fruits of all that you have, give it to the Lord. And what does God say? "Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." How much were the people to give voluntarily to God? As much as they wanted to give. They just honored the Lord and gave voluntarily to Him. And God promised that if they were generous towards Him, He would be generous towards them and He would bless them with plenty. So from Moses to Jesus, required giving was really a taxation, 23 1/3%. And voluntary giving was a giving to the Lord, and the Lord would bless them for their generous giving. Now, that's what we looked at last week. Today, I want to look at giving in the New Testament, or giving from Jesus until the present. What does giving look like in the New Testament? And again, I want to use these two categories of giving, voluntary giving and required giving. Now, the New Testament actually has a lot to say about giving. Now, some people say that giving in the New Testament is different than giving in the Old Testament, but that is not the case. Giving in the New Testament is more clearly defined, as one would expect, because there is a full unfolding of God's revelation to us of all that we need to know for faith and life. But in principle, giving in the New Testament is identical to giving in the Old Testament. So first, let's look at required giving from Jesus to the present. Required giving from Jesus to the present. Remember when Jesus lived, in his day, he was still living under the Old Testament Mosaic law. And so Jesus and the Jews of his day were required to pay those three annual tithes, the Levites' tithe, the festival tithe, and the poor tithe. Jesus gave 23 1/3% of his income every year to the government of Israel to run the national priestly program, the national festival program, and the national welfare program. Now, what was Jesus' attitude regarding the giving of tithes? Let me tell you about a parable that Jesus told about a Pharisee who trusted in himself and looked down at others with contempt. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, that I am not an extortioner, unjust, adulterer, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now, that is just amazing. Now, Jesus actually, you remember at the end of the story, he commends the tax collector who wouldn't even look up to heaven and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But the Pharisee was required to pay his tithes. They were supposed to pay. There was nothing virtuous or commendable about doing what you were supposed to do. He wasn't doing anything more than what was required of him to do. And so Jesus expects him to pay his taxes. Now, in addition, when Jesus lived, he was living not under the theocracy of Israel, the government of Israel, but you remember they were also living under Roman occupation at that time. And so the Romans said, we want our taxes as well. We expect you to give us money as well. And what was Jesus' attitude toward those taxes? Well, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22, there is an account of the Pharisees who went to Jesus, and they were plotting how to entangle Jesus in his words. They were trying to get him tripped up in his own words. And so they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians and said, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God faithfully, buttering him up. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, Jesus knew that if he said, well, you have to pay taxes to Caesar, the Jews would be upset. And if he says, well, don't pay the taxes to Caesar, the Romans would be upset. And they thought they had him in the perfect spot. But Jesus, aware of their malice, aware of their hypocrisy, says, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And so they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. And Jesus is saying, if Caesar wants your taxes, pay him his taxes, the taxes that are due to him. Okay, so that's Jesus' view. As a Jewish citizen, as a person living under Roman occupation, but we are not Jews, we don't live in Israel, we don't live under Roman occupation, we live today. What is the principle for us today? Well, the Apostle Paul gives the principle in Romans chapter 13. And this is the principle for all Christians everywhere. And this is what the Apostle Paul said in verses 1 and 2. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Paul's point is, that God is the one who raises up governments. It doesn't matter whether it's a godly government or an ungodly government. God is in control of setting up and raising up and bringing down governments. Paul goes on in verse 5 and he says, therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. Very interesting phrase. You'll have to come back when we do Romans 13 and I'll explain that more. But he says, they attend to this very thing. And then he says, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. In other words, what Paul says, doesn't matter where you are, where you live, all Christians must pay their taxes. Pay the taxes to whom the taxes are owed. Now, there are several other passages in the New Testament that talk about tithing as well. But basically required giving in the New Testament is paying taxes to the government. It is not giving to the church. And when the New Testament talks about required giving, it basically is saying, pay your taxes. So that's required giving. Now, what about voluntary giving in the New Testament? And this is what we're all particularly interested in, looking at voluntary giving from Jesus to the present. This is giving to God. Now, there is no text in the entire New Testament that teaches that Christians are to tithe to God. No text in the entire New Testament, or the Old Testament for that matter in this regard, that says that Christians are to give a tithe of their income to God. Ordinarily, tithing is taxes, and it is given to the government. Jesus never set the tithe as the standard of giving in the New Testament. Neither did Paul, and neither did any other writer in the New Testament. Now, what then is the standard of giving in the New Testament? The New Testament has a lot to say about giving. As I said, the New Testament gives a fuller expression of our giving. And I want to give you today 6 principles of giving, voluntary giving, in the New Testament. There are actually many more principles, but I stopped at 6. So let me give them to you. First, voluntary giving begins by acknowledging that God owns all things, including our money. King David said in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Everything is God's. God has created it. He has created us. He has created everything in this world. It is His, and God expects us to acknowledge that. In fact, David affirms this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Now, these are clear verses in the Old Testament, but the principle still applies in the New Testament as well. Second, voluntary giving affirms that we are simply stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. We're simply stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. Now, the word steward was first used in the 11th century in England, and it was used of someone who took care of his master's household. And so it's come into our English language as somebody who takes care of the possessions of another. And in that sense, God's household, as it were, is this world and everything in it, including ourselves, including our money and our possessions. And we are simply stewards. We are taking care of the possessions that our master has entrusted to us on his behalf. They are his possessions that we are taking care of at this time. Third, voluntary giving is the fitting response to God's gift of His Son to us. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, Yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And he's talking obviously in a spiritual sense here, but we understand that God has given to us the greatest of all gifts, his Son, and we, in gratitude to God for all that he has given to us, especially the gift of eternal salvation, respond by saying, all that we have, all that we are is yours, and we give it all back to you because it belongs to you. Fourth, voluntary giving is in response to need. In the book of Acts, you see in Acts chapter 2, at the start of the first century Christian church, the believers, some of them, there was great persecution throughout that time, and some of them couldn't find jobs, couldn't get work, they had no money, and so those who had shared what they had with those who did not have. You see the same thing again in Acts chapter 4, when now not only taking their money, but people, the Christians, actually even went and sold their land and their property in order to get money to help the people in the church who were financially needy. Again, in Acts chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Gentile church up in Antioch and in the Mediterranean basin where they had more money, he appeals to them to help take care of the poor in Jerusalem, and he actually eventually takes their offering and takes it back to Jerusalem to help those who were in need. And so giving is in response to need in the New Testament as well. Fifth, voluntary giving is to support the ministry of the church. Again, there are a number of texts that point to this, but one in which the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he thanks them for their support of him and his ministry. He says in Philippians chapter 4, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." And Paul was supported by the giving of the Philippian church. And in the church today, the ministry of God's word, the ministry of the church, is to be supported by the gifts of God's people. We don't go to the government and say, "You send us money so that we can take the gospel to the world." It is God's people who support the work of the ministry. And then the sixth and last principle I'll give to you today is that voluntary giving is sacrificial. The New Testament doesn't say that we are to give a tithe. The New Testament doesn't say how much you should give to God. It doesn't specify an amount or a percentage to give, but it does teach that Christian giving is to be sacrificial. One example of this is the story of Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and so he runs, climbs up into the tree. Jesus comes by, stops and says, "I want to come to your house today." Zacchaeus is marvelously converted to Christ. He's absolutely forgiven of his sins, transformed, a new creature in Christ, and he's so excited. He says to Jesus, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." How much was he giving? 10%? No, 50%. 50% of all that he had, he was going to give to the poor. So excited was he about his relationship with Christ. On another occasion, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury box in the temple, and he watched people putting their money into the offering box. They didn't send plates around like we do here. They had a box in the temple courtyard, and people walked by and dropped their money into it, and Jesus was sitting off to the side and just watching. And the people who were very rich and very wealthy came along and made sure people were watching, dropped their money in to the treasury box. And along came a poor widow, and she put in two small copper coins, and the Bible says it was a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put more in than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Why? For they all contributed out of their abundance, But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had, all she had to live on. How much did she give? 10%? No. 50%? No. She gave 100%. Now, the Bible doesn't say how God provided for her, but I believe she was acknowledging and saying, God, everything that I have is yours. I just want you to be praised. I want your name to be magnified and glorified, and this is what I'm giving to you, and I will trust you to take care of me. Voluntary giving in the New Testament is never a specific percentage, but it is always sacrificial. When people say that the standard of giving should be 10%, be aware that Jesus commended the widow who gave 100%. He didn't command giving 100%. He commended the giving of 100%. Jesus commended the widow as someone who recognized that God owns all things. We should never be satisfied with how little we give to God, but we should always strive to give as much as we can to God as He blesses us with gifts to give. Now, as I said, there are other principles, but let me leave just these with you regarding voluntary giving in the New Testament. So giving in the Old Testament and in the New Testament consists of these two categories. If you keep them in mind, I think you'll be greatly helped. There is required giving and there is voluntary giving. Required giving in both the Old and the New Testament was always a taxation. It was used to fund the government by Joseph in Egypt at 20%. It was 23% for people in the Old Testament. It was 23% for Jesus. And Paul said, Christians, pay your taxes. Doesn't matter if the government is godly or ungodly, pay your taxes. That's required giving. Voluntary giving is always from the heart. There's no command to give voluntarily. God's people were told that if they would honor God, God would honor them. They were told that if they would be generous towards God, God would be generous towards them. Voluntary giving was always an expression of love and devotion to the Lord. That was true in the Old Testament, and it was true in the New Testament. Now, still, people want to know, how much should we give God today? What percentage should we give to God? Well, you have to pay your taxes. That's required giving. But I hope that you can see that you are to give to God by acknowledging that God owns all things, even your money. You are simply a steward of everything that God has entrusted to you for your care. You are to give in response of God's gift of Jesus to you. Your giving is response to those who are in need. Your giving is to support the work of the ministry, and that your giving is to be sacrificial. Now, having said that, I would like you to take out this card again. So those of you who were here last week, hopefully you brought them back. If you have turned it in, that's okay. But this card is in the bulletin. If you pull it out of your bulletin, and I want to just walk you through that briefly at this time. On the card it says, the 2009 General Fund Pledge. And it says, as we plan our budget for 2009, it will help us to know how much each person or family is planning to give to support the ministry of the Tampa Bay Presbyterian Church. These pledges are not binding. They're completely voluntary on your part. However, it will assist the budget committee as they prepare for the 2009 budget. Please return these forms today. Now, I just want to remind you of several things I said last week. We plan to use these pledge cards to help us build our general fund budget for next year. And so it's important to get 100% participation. You know what your situation is, and we all know the economy is in uncertainty, and you're not sure what your finances will be next year. Some of you may be aware of that, but it would help us if we could get 100% participation. Be realistic about how much you pledge. If you give $100 a week, right now and you expect only a 3% increase in your salary next year, don't take your pledge from $100 to $1,000 because that's not a realistic increase. Third, as I said, we'd like every family or every giving unit to turn one of these in. If you give as a family, give it in as a family. If you give as individuals, please do that. And we really want a response from everybody. We'll call to make sure that we've got them in. And we're not going to hold you to these. It's simply to help us as we budget. In that sense, it is completely voluntary. And so pray about it. If you've turned it in, maybe you turned it in today. Thank you. If you haven't yet turned it in, bring it back this evening to the Thanksgiving dinner and turn it in there. And ask the Lord as you pray about how you can give sacrificially with the finances that He has entrusted to you so that your giving is in response to His gift of Christ to you so that you can give to help the needs of the church, advance the ministry, and be sacrificial in your giving. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we do thank you for what your word teaches us about giving. I suspect that for many here today, what I have said today is perhaps new. They've not heard this understanding of giving taught from your word, but it is what your word teaches us. And we want to be the most generous, the most sacrificial, the most giving people that we can possibly be. And so I pray that you would help us to give willingly, joyfully, sacrificially, so that your name may be exalted and the word may go forward. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.